It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where it has been foggy and misty all morning. It seems to be lifting a bit. They do continue to say they only have 1.5 miles of visibility out at the airport, where they also have 96% humidity and east winds to 13. 42 degrees in Kodiak. The Weather Service is predicting rain to begin at about 4 p.m. and continue through about 10 p.m., could be heavy at times. Short respite for showers, then the rain is expected to start again about 1 a.m. Look for maybe an inch of rain to fall overnight. And these pleasant easterly breezes are going to turn to the northeast tonight, increase to 20 after midnight, could gust as high as 25. Coming up on the Midday Report, KMXT's Brian Venois speaks to a climatologist about what it means to be an El Niño year.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Major legal victory today for the woman who accuses former President Donald Trump of raping her nearly 30 years ago. NPR's Ilya Meretz reports a New York jury finds today Trump liable for battery and defamation against columnist and author E. Jean Carroll.
Carroll went public with her story in 2019 when Trump was still president. He vehemently denied the allegation, saying, "She's not my type." She sued for defamation, and then sued him again last year after New York passed a law allowing civil complaints over old allegations of sexual assault. The jury of 6 men and 3 women deliberated less than 3 hours before finding that Trump more likely than not sexually abused Carroll and that he defamed her. He's being ordered to pay a total penalty of $5 million. Trump has said he'll appeal. Ilya Meretz, NPR News, New York.
In a verified post on his social network, Truth Social, Trump characterizes the jury's decision as, quote, a continuation of the greatest witch hunt of all time. Trump faces a litany of other legal troubles, from hush money payments to his role in 2020 election fraud claims and violence at the U.S. Capitol. Trump's again running for office in 2024. President Biden is welcoming House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and other top congressional leaders to the White House this hour. NPR's Windsor Johnston reports a meeting comes just weeks before a deadline to raise the nation's debt ceiling.
The stakes are extremely high. If lawmakers fail to reach an agreement, the nation could default on its debt by as early as June 1st. White House Communications Director Ben LeBolt tells NPR that House Republicans are playing with fire by tying spending cuts to the government's borrowing capacity.
The president believes the appropriate process for this is the one that already exists, which is the budget and appropriations process. So he will not negotiate over default.
The Republican-led House has passed legislation that would lift the borrowing limit for 1 year in exchange for deep cuts in government spending. Democrats, including President Biden, have repeatedly argued that raising the debt ceiling is non-negotiable. Windsor Johnston, NPR News, Washington.
There's a new breast cancer screening recommendation from the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force. NPR's Allison Aubrey reports the group concludes women should begin getting mammograms at age 40.
There's been a rise in breast cancer among people under the age of 50. Dr. Carol Mangione of UCLA is co-author of the new recommendation and says there's evidence to show the benefit of mammograms for women in their 40s.
New and more inclusive science has allowed us to expand our prior recommendation and encourage all women to get screening starting at the age of 40.
Every other year. Until now, women had been encouraged to talk to their health care providers about when to start screenings. About 42,000 women die of breast cancer each year, and Dr. Mangione says if all women followed the recommendations, deaths could be reduced by about 20%.
It's NPR. The man accused of carrying out the mass shooting at a Texas outlet mall in suburban Dallas last weekend had neo-Nazi ideation, according to the head of the Texas Department of Public Safety. However, officials say Mauricio Garcia appeared to fire randomly at his victims, no matter their ethnicity or age. Investigators are still trying to determine motive. 8 people, including 3 children, were killed. 10 people, one as young as 5, were injured. The Central Texas Army Post, long known as Fort Hood, is now designated Fort Cavazos in honor of the Army's first Hispanic 4-star general. As Carson Frame of Texas Public Radio reports, this is part of an effort by Congress and the military to remove Confederate names and symbols.
Born to Mexican-American parents in Kingsville, Texas, Richard E. Cavazos grew up on a cattle ranch. He served in the Army in both Korea and Vietnam, and his bravery earned him 2 Distinguished Service Crosses, a Silver Star, and other decorations. The senior leader of what is now Fort Cavazos, General Sean Bernabe, says the base's new namesake was a stellar leader, a soldier-soldier.
Who earned admiration, loyalty, and respect through his warrior ethos, through his selflessness, through his genuine empathy, and through his unquestionable love for soldiers.
The base jettisoned the name Hood for John Bell Hood, a Confederate general and commander of the Texas Brigade during the Civil War. I'm Carson Frame in San Antonio.
The Dow closes down 56 points, ending the day at 33,561. It's NPR News.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration declared this year's climate to be an El Niño year based on conditions in the Pacific Ocean. KMXT's Brian Venois talked with a climatologist on what that will mean for Alaska.
El Niño and La Niña are Spanish for the boy and the girl, respectively. But when it comes to climate, they're part of an irregular cycle of sea surface temperatures in the Pacific Ocean near the equator. This year, NOAA declared conditions are most in line with El Niño. That means Alaskans will likely see slightly higher temperatures and more storms, especially around the Gulf of Alaska. The high-altitude winds, like the jet stream, are weaker in the summer, so effects won't be noticeable until later this year. Rick Toman is the University of Alaska Fairbanks' climate specialist.
It's really as we move into the fall time and the storminess increases again that we see the main effects of El Niño.
He says just a few degrees difference near the equator changes where tropical storms form and can affect weather all around the ocean.
Variations in ocean surface temperatures of 1 or 2 degrees, 1,000 miles from Hawaii, can wind up affecting our weather because those big, giant tropical thunderstorms can control how the jet stream flows and meanders at higher latitudes.
But Toman was also quick to point out that while El Niño is the current prediction, weather can be fickle. El Niño and La Niña stack the deck towards certain conditions, but they're just one factor forecasters take into account.
There have been El Niño years when it has wound up colder than normal, but we're loading the dice to be warmer than normal for the upcoming winter.
El Niño conditions typically last 9 to 12 months. The longest El Niño recorded lasted about a year and a half in the late 1980s, but it could dissipate as early as spring of next year. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venois.
The Tanana Chiefs Conference is dropping out of the Alaska Federation of Natives. According to a TCC announcement posted to its website on Monday, the decision was made by the executive board and reflects a poll of interior tribal delegates in which the majority voted not to renew membership in AFN. It says that, quote, while TCC respects and appreciates all the work that AFN has done over the years, it is important that TCC align itself with partners that help further our priorities and share our same voice, unquote. The release goes on to say that TCC tribal leaders have made it clear to AFN in recent years that their top priority is the protection of salmon and ways of life, and although over 40 resolutions have been passed by AFN's board in support of subsistence, no significant action has been taken. It also cites time and money spent to participate in AFN, resources it says should be used to, quote, their maximum potential to advance TCC's tribal priorities, unquote. TCC submitted a formal letter of withdrawal to AFN April 28th, but notes that individual interior tribes are free to be members of AFN. The Alaska Federation of Natives is the largest statewide Alaska Native organization, representing some 209 federally recognized tribes. And the Central Council of Thlinkit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska are also withdrawing from the Alaska Federation of Natives. Thlinkit and Haida is Alaska's largest federally recognized tribe. Its executive council voted to withdraw from AFN in a meeting on May 1st. In a statement, President Richard Chile Iesh Peterson said the tribe can manage relationships with the state and federal governments on its own. AFN has more than 200 tribal and corporate members. The withdrawal from AFN is the latest in a series of moves for the tribe this year. In January, Peterson signed a deed to put a parcel of land into federal trust, essentially creating Indian country in downtown Juneau. A few months later, the tribe purchased another acre of commercial property in Juneau as part of an ongoing effort to return ownership of traditional lands. And in March, Thlinkit and Haida was one of five tribal organizations selected for a state tribal education compacting grant. Peterson was unavailable for comment on Monday. Spokespeople for AFN did not reply to requests for comment. Girdwood firefighters rescued a fisherman on Sunday who sank up to his waist in the Turnagain Arm mud. The man, who has not been identified, was fishing for hooligan near the mouth of the 20-mile river when his leg became trapped. People in the area tried to free him for about an hour, but they didn't have much luck, says Monch Garhart, Girdwood Fire and Rescue's deputy chief.
And if you are deeper than your knee, it's very difficult to get out. The only way is really is to lean forward and kind of fulcrum your body to use the back of your heel to try to pop up and drive your heel up to break that suction.
Fire crews were called at about 1:30 p.m. Garhart says they used special rescue gear, including a tool that can pump air and water into the mud, and freed the man in about 14 minutes. The man wasn't hurt, and the nearby stretch of the Seward Highway remained open. This is the second time in about 6 months that Girdwood firefighters have rescued someone in the Turnagain Arm mud, which can trap people like quicksand in the rising tide waters. Garhart says people should be cautious in the area and travel in groups so someone can go for help if needed. They should also watch their footing.
We always say don't go past the grass when you're on the mud. That's going to be the safest spot to go. And then if you are going to be out past the grass in the mud flats, don't stand in one location.
Garhart urges anyone who sees someone stuck to dial 911 immediately. After a two-day trial, a Ketchikan Superior Court judge ruled that a list of 14 traditional tribal values can keep its place in Ketchikan schools. The decision comes less than a week after the trial's end. KRBD's Reagan Miller has this report.
The values were created years ago by Southeast Native leaders and include items like hold each other up and speak with care. But parents Justin Brees and Rebecca King sued the school district, alleging that one of the values, reverence for our Creator, was a religious statement that violated the First Amendment's Establishment Clause. They asked for the posters to be taken down from common areas and instead be incorporated into guided lessons. The parents also wanted the values removed from a behavior reward system at Ketchikan Charter School. In the written decision, Judge Catherine Librand said that the plaintiffs didn't prove the statement was religious. Librand said that in order to violate the Establishment Clause, the posters would have to be forcing students into believing a certain way. She said that fact was not proven at the trial. And, Librand ruled, even if it was religious, it still wouldn't be a violation of the clause because the display of the posters isn't forcing a certain behavior. Librand echoed testimony from expert witnesses, saying the posters were hung to encourage cultural awareness, not a particular behavior. Librand also wrote that the reverence for our Creator value wasn't a required part of the Ketchikan Charter School program, and teachers aren't required to hang the posters in their classrooms. Additionally, Librand noted that the posting of the value was, quote, more akin to reciting the Pledge of Allegiance than the posting of the Ten Commandments, end quote. Native leaders in Ketchikan and around Southeast applauded the decision on social media, along with Ketchikan's tribe. Plaintiff Rebecca King said she did not have a comment regarding the decision, but that as parents, they weren't law experts and received an answer through the legal process. KRBD could not reach a representative from the Ketchikan Gateway Borough School District. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Reagan Miller.
What is the meaning of home? K Keys to Life, an Anchorage nonprofit which works to promote arts, culture, and diversity, has put that question to people who know what it means to be without a home. Their answers, though, are not expressed in words, but in art, music, and poetry at a downtown Anchorage art gallery. KNBA's Rhonda McBride spent the afternoon with one of the artists, a young woman who wrote a song about the meaning of home.
The name of the song is Finding Joy in the Chaos.
Mackenzie Johnson, or MJ as she likes to be called, has seen a lot of chaos in her 18 years. But it's music that grounds her and why she wanted to share her story here at the Guitar Center in Midtown.
This is like my safe place, I guess. When I'm not doing great, I'll come here and I'll play because there's like a bunch of guitars.
Guitars that hang in a big room enclosed in wood, where the smell of cedar is the smell of home.
I never really had like that one house I could go to because things just happened, and I always wished for like a place I could just live and be happy and have a family. My song's called Final Destination.
Since I was born, I've hopped around, wished for a home with solid ground. 18 months old, placed in your arms, with words of love they swore no harm.
MJ's song tells a complicated story. There's her mother, who gave her up at birth due to addiction, an adoption that didn't work out, followed by life as a chronic runaway, often in psychiatric care.
I'm gonna fly, fly far away. Please tell me why I can't stay.
MJ finally found stability when she moved into a Covenant House shelter for teens. She now has a job as a restaurant hostess, an apartment, and hopes to become an EMT.
Nobody would look at me today and be like, oh my gosh, she was homeless. Nobody would guess that. They'd probably hear my song and be surprised. A lot of people have been already.
And yes, I am surprised. And yes, I love every single piece.
Shirley Mae Springer Staton spent months collecting paintings, poems, and songs for the Keys to Life Meaning of Home project.
We have this opportunity to take it in at the heart level.
If they see an old man sitting on the side of the road begging for food or asking for clothing, to them that's what homelessness is. I feel like in order to know what it is, you have to go through it.
I don't know how I survived. Look at me now, I'm so alive.
For MJ, home is a place where you feel welcome and wanted, a place we all need, whether we have a home or not. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
I'm gonna fly far today. All you sisters strive to help me stay. So watch me fly far today. I have a home.
Is the debt ceiling constitutional? I'm Novosava with the Marketplace Minute. A union representing government workers has filed a lawsuit in federal court challenging the legal limit on U.S. debt. The National Association of Government Employees argues the 14th Amendment of the Constitution requires the government to pay its financial obligations and therefore that it must issue new debt to do so. Meanwhile, President Biden is scheduled to meet with congressional leaders this afternoon at the White House to discuss raising the debt ceiling. The Treasury Department says the government could default as early as June 1st. The world's biggest oil company, Saudi Arabia's Aramco, reported $32 billion profit in the first quarter. That was actually 20% less than a year earlier due to lower crude oil prices. I'm Novosava with a Marketplace Minute.
Marketplace Minute is supported by JLL, providing commercial real estate investment and technology. See a brighter way.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Tuesday. It is the ninth day of May, the year 2023. The sun rose today at 5:59. It won't set again until 10:14. That'll give us 16 hours and 15 minutes of daylight, a gain of 4 minutes and 23 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high temperature for this date was 65 degrees. That was set in 1961. And our record low was 27, set in 1971. Currently 42 degrees. It's foggy and misty. Out at the airport, they are showing east winds to 9 miles per hour, 96% humidity, and they're up to 2.5 miles of visibility. The Weather Service is calling for rain to begin at about 5 p.m. today and continue through about 11. That could be heavy rain at times. And then it's only going to go to showers between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m., and the rain is expected to start up again until about 2 p.m. tomorrow. So look for a wet 24 hours or so. Mostly cloudy skies today with a high near 45, east winds to 10. Those east winds are expected to turn to the northeast tonight, increase to 20 after midnight, could gust as high as 25. Looking at our local tides, we just had a low tide. Our tide just started coming in. That was a low, low tide. If you can get out there, you could still do some nice tide pooling. It was minus 1.3 feet at 11:30 this morning here on the east side and minus 2 feet at 11:52 this morning on the west side. Our next high tide here on the east side will be at 6:08 p.m. and be 6.4 feet, followed by a low tide at 11:07 this evening of 3 feet. Over on the west side, your next high tide will be at 6:21 this evening and be at 11.5 feet. And your low tide will be at 11:46 p.m., quarter to midnight, and be a 4.5-foot tide in Larsen Bay. Mariners, here's your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanak, Kodiak's east side, out to 15 nautical miles. Small craft advisory through tomorrow. Southeast winds to 15 knots and seas to 10 feet. Northeast 30 tonight, seas to 9 feet. And east 30 tomorrow, seas to 10 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, gale warning for tonight and tomorrow. For today, north of Cape Kuliak, northeast 30, diminishing to 20 knots in the afternoon, seas to 10 feet. South of Cape Kuliak, northeast 25, becoming variable 10, seas to 7 feet, subsiding to 3 feet. And for tonight, in both places, northeast 35, seas to 13 feet. For tomorrow, northeast 35, seas to 14 feet. Inshore waters for Chiniak Bay, small craft advisory for tonight and Wednesday. For tonight in Chiniak Bay, northeast 15, expected to increase to 25 knots after midnight. 4-foot seas building to 7 feet after midnight in Chiniak Bay. For tomorrow, east 25 and seas to 7 feet. Up in Marmot Bay, small craft advisory for tonight and Wednesday as well. For tonight, east winds to 15 knots, becoming east 25 late this evening, seas to 10 feet. For tomorrow, east 25 and seas to 10 feet in Marmot Bay. The Kodiak City Council will be having a work session tonight at 7:30 p.m. in the Kodiak Public Library, and be having a regular meeting on Thursday at the same time and place. These meetings are open to the public, and they will also be broadcast here on KMXT on 100.1 FM. And the meetings will be web-streamed. The web-streaming link and meeting packets are available online at the City of Kodiak website. If you have more needs or informational requests, contact the city clerk at 907-486-8636. Upcoming meetings in the Kodiak Island Borough include tomorrow's meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. They will be having a work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. On Thursday, the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly will be having a work session, also in the Borough Assembly Chambers, also at 6:30 p.m. Next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, The Planning and Zoning Commission will be having a regular meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. And a week from Thursday, May 18th, the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly will be having a regular meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. All these meetings are open to the public, and packets are available at the Kodiak Island Borough website. Contact the Borough Clerk's Office at 907-486-9310 with any questions. And remember, Kodiak Island Borough Assembly meetings are broadcast on the YouTube channel as well. If you subscribe, they will send you live stream notifications. On Saturday at the Kodiak College's Benny Benson Building, you can meet Marissa Trombley and her feathered friend Breland the Peregrine Falcon. She's from the Alaska Bird Treatment and Learning Center, and she has lots of interesting things to let you know about. The whole thing starts out with a bird feeder building workshop, assumably, at 10:30 in the morning. That goes to 11:45, and then at 12 noon, the virtual presentation with Marissa and her bird with Q&A following begins. Again, that is this Saturday, Kodiak College's Benny Benson Building, and starts out at 10:30 a.m. with the bird feeder building presentation. Well, Matson is generously giving away prizes for cleaning up Kodiak. They're giving away $2,500 in prizes for those who come out to help keep Kodiak clean. Just snap a picture of yourself cleaning up your community in your community, and you need to upload it by May 13th, which is by Saturday, to matsoncleanupgiveaway.com/Kodiak. That's all one word, www.matsoncleanupgiveaway.com/Kodiak, and you'll be in the running for 14 gift cards from local businesses. The Aleutic Museum's exhibit Redesign Community Meeting is happening Tuesday, May 16th, so a week from today, 5:30 p.m. till 7 p.m. in the Aleutic Museum. The Aleutic Museum is renovating its gallery, and they've been working hard to plan their new exhibits. Join them for their third and final community conversation facilitated by Exhibit AK. It's a chance to come and share your ideas and give input on the new design for their gallery. Again, that is a week from today, 5:30 p.m. till 7 p.m. at the Aleutic Museum. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Suicide is a reality many in our community have to live with, but what do you know about it, and how can you talk about it? Learn how to support each other's mental health by joining the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center for a free presentation, Talk Saves Lives, on Wednesday, May 17th. That's a week from tomorrow. That's from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center. It's free and open to the public. Email outreach@kwrcc.org or call them at 907-486-6171 for more information. Have you ever wondered about your family's history? Where are you from? What is your family's story? The Kodiak History Museum, Kodiak Public Library, and the St. Herman's Theological Seminary Archives have the event for you. Join them on Thursday, May 18th, a week from this coming Thursday, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. for a genealogical event at the Kodiak Public Library. This free event will teach you how to start your genealogical journey and show you with demonstrations all the resources available to you. For more information, call the Kodiak History Museum at 907-486-5920. But again, that's a week from this Thursday, 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Kodiak Public Library. And the Kodiak Community Blood Drive is coming up. That will be happening Thursday, May 25th through Monday, May 29th at the Alaska Army National Guard Armory, 6 to 9 p.m. on all days. You can schedule your appointment with Tara Cupp at 907-654-5300. But again, that starts Thursday, May 25th through Monday, May 29th at the Armory. AMSI is conducting a fishing vessel drill conductor class on Wednesday and Thursday, May 24th and 25th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center. The cost for the class is free for commercial fishing fleet in Kodiak and $225 for all others. The class meets the U.S. Coast Guard training requirements for drill conductors on commercial fishing vessels. Register online at www.amc.org or call them at 907-747-3287.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.